Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for July 28, 2015. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and today I'm talking with Pooja Desai about distinct calcium channel pore subunits that are produced from the same transcript but mediate different types of calcium currents. Calcium release activated calcium channels, called CRAC channels for short, are multi-subunit complexes that sit in the plasma membrane and allow calcium to flow into a cell when the cell's intracellular stores of calcium have been depleted. Arachidonic acid-regulated calcium channels, ARC channels, also sit in the plasma membrane, and they allow calcium to flow into cells in response to lipids like arachidonic acid. In both CRAC and ARC channels, ORI proteins form the pore, the conduit through which calcium enters the cell. In mammals, the gene ORI1 encodes not one but two different calcium channel subunits because the transcript has two different translation start sites. In a new study, Pooja Desai and her colleagues report that the long and short forms of ORI1 contribute to calcium channels that have distinct properties. Desai spoke to me from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Dr. Desai, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you.
What types of stimuli can activate CRAC channels at the plasma membrane so that they allow calcium to flow into the cell?
So CRAC channels, first, I would like to define it as calcium release activated calcium channels. And physiologically, any stimuli which would activate the surface membrane receptors and cause the activation of PLC, which will lead to activation of IP3 production, which is going to deplete the calcium from the endoplasmic reticulum. And that is what actually is the trigger, which is sensed by a protein called STIM1, and that would actually activate the ORI1 protein, which forms a pore for the CRAC channel. For example, any hormones, specifically in response to stress, like vasopressin, cortisol, angiotensin, all these hormones are capable of activating PLC pathway, which I mentioned, and thereby they can activate the CRAC channels eventually. In addition, certain infections and inflammation can do the same. So on the other hand, there are these other channels, which are the ARC channels, arachidonic acid-activated calcium channels. And as the name suggests, these channels are activated by these arachidonic acid, which are pro-inflammatory lipids, and they can also be activated by leukotriene C4, which is actually a metabolite of arachidonic acid.
The calcium-conducting pore of CRAC and ARC channels is formed by ORI proteins. How many different ORI proteins are there in mammals?
So in mammals, so far, we've seen there are three different ORI proteins, which go by the name ORI1, ORI2, and ORI3. So ORI1 is extensively studied so far, versus ORI2 and ORI3 are being less studied.
And there are two different forms of ORI1. How do those two forms of the protein differ?
Yes, so there are two different forms of ORI1, ORI1 alpha, which is the long form, ORI1 beta, which is the short form. These are actually a product of alternative translation initiation from the same gene.
In this paper, you looked at how channels containing the short form of ORI1 differ physiologically from channels that have the long form of ORI1. How do those two types of channels differ?
As I mentioned, that ORI1 protein is occurring in two different isoforms, which is the long form and the short form. And this was actually very recently discovered. So ORI1 is known to form two different type of channels, CRAC and the ARC. In general, CRAC and ARC are very similar, that they are letting calcium inside the cells upon stimulation. But they differ in terms of their electrophysiology properties as well as how they are activated and regulated. The CRAC channels can be activated by the stored depletion pathway, as I talked about earlier, versus the ARC channel, which are actually activated by arachidonic acid or leukotriene C4. These are the pro-inflammatory lipids. And the short form and the long form differ in these two types of channels. For CRAC channels, both the short and the long form can actually give us currents, which are very identical, except for a very small difference, which is termed as the calcium-dependent inactivation. This calcium-dependent inactivation is seen only with the long form, and the short form, you don't see this calcium-dependent inactivation. However, we don't know what are the physiological effects in terms of how it is affecting the cells or tissue in general by this calcium-dependent inactivation. In terms of arachidonic acid currents, which are the ARC currents, you don't need short form at all to form the currents. Only the long form of ORI1 along with the ORI3 is enough to form these channels and thereby activate the current.
Only mammals have the long form of ORI1. Non-mammals have only the short form. Does the single short form of ORI1 mediate both store-operated calcium entry and calcium entry that's induced by pro-inflammatory lipids in non-mammals?
A very short answer to that is we don't know that yet. But two key components are missing in the non-mammals. That is the long form of ORI1 as well as ORI3. And we know for sure these both are required to form the arachidonic acid currents, which are mediated by the pro-inflammatory lipids. But we don't know if there would be any other mechanism which would actually let calcium inside the cells in response to these pro-inflammatory lipids in non-mammals. There's no literature so far suggesting that there are any currents which are induced by these pro-inflammatory lipids in non-mammals.
Not only is the long form of ORI1 specific to mammals, but ORI3 is also found only in mammals. How does having that variety of calcium channels contribute to physiological differences between mammals and non-mammals?
So if you look at the evolution of these ORI proteins, in invertebrates such as C. elegans, you could only see ORI1 protein. And then eventually with evolution in vertebrate lineage, you could see ORI1 and 2. And very later on, ORI3 protein, which is very recent. So I feel it's more like a lineage-specific expansion of these proteins, which required some environmental stimulus or adaptation in terms of pro-inflammatory lipids to develop this current in non-mammals, in addition to the store-operated calcium entry, which has been preserved from C. elegans to mammals. As I mentioned, that ORI1 protein occurs in two different isoforms was only very recently discovered. We did not even know that the long form existed. We knew that the ORI3 exists in mammals, but now we also know that ORI1 long form exists in mammals, and it has a specific role in activating currents stimulated by pro-inflammatory lipids. So I think we need further studies which would involve developing new mouse models and study more physiological functions that would help us determine how we have this advantage over the non-mammals by having this long form.
Dr. Desai, thanks for speaking with me.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That was Pooja Desai discussing a paper published in the July 28th issue of Science Signaling by Desai and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.